For that assurance we can have. Jesus said, all that the Father gave me, I haven't lost any of them. Amen? Amen. He's not going to lose us. We're kept by the power of God. Amen. And thankful for that salvation. Now, you have to possess that salvation before He'll keep that salvation. Amen? And the only way to be saved is to realize that you are a sinner in need of salvation and come to Christ in true repentance and faith and trust what He did on Calvary. When He died on Calvary, He took all of your sins. He took all of the sins of the whole world, past, present, future, and He paid the penalty for those sins on the cross. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Wages is something you've earned. You work all week, you expect to get paid. Listen, you know what we've earned? We've earned death because of our sin. But the Bible says that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And so listen, your sin is what's going to take you to hell if you don't trust Christ. But also, your sin qualifies you for salvation. Amen. And recognizing your need of your sinfulness is very important. Jesus said to those Pharisees who were self-righteous, He said, I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Amen. See, you can't get saved as long as you think you don't need to be saved. But if you'll get honest with yourself, get honest with God, and realize I'm just a sinner, I deserve hell. You know, in this world in which we live, everybody talks about, I just want what I deserve. No, you don't. I just want what's coming to me. No, you don't. You deserve hellfire because of your sin. You've sinned against a holy God. And you don't deserve heaven. And I don't deserve heaven. Nobody does. But that's why Jesus Christ came. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We were coming down the road yesterday, and driving down the highway, and all of a sudden, right in the middle of the highway, right in the center lane, there's three lanes, right in the center lane, there was a truck bed. No truck, just the bed. And sitting right in the, everybody's having to swerve around, and a couple people stopped, you know, to help this guy. And I'm praying the whole time, Lord, please help nobody run into this thing. And I thought about stopping, but I didn't stop. You know why I didn't stop? Because I had a vehicle full of kids, my kids in that car. And as much as concerned as I was for them, I was more concerned for my children. And you say, well, you should have stopped. Well, maybe I should have, but I didn't. Because as much as I love you, I love my kids more. Listen, when you think about that, and you think about that God gave His only Son for the likes of us, that's great love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. What a promise from God. What a gift from God. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, and you say, well, I don't even really know what this means. It means to know that your sins are forgiven, that you're right with God. You've received Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, and He gives to you as a gift eternal life with Him in heaven. If you've not received Christ and received that gift of eternal life, you need to do that today. You could do it right now. You don't have to wait till the end of the service. You don't have to wait till I open up the Bible and we start the message. This is not the message, by the way. This is just introductory remarks. But it might be the message you need. And you can do that right now. You can trust the Lord as your Savior right now. You admit that you're a sinner. You admit that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, that He died for your sins, and you trust what He has done. Not only did He die on the cross, but He rose again from the tomb 3 days later. And you know why that was important? Because, listen, when Jesus died on the cross for our sins, He was paying the penalty of our sin. But that, listen, that sacrifice had to be accepted and received by His Father, who is the judge of all the world, all the earth. And that resurrection is proof that the sacrifice was sufficient.
Amen.
And when Jesus rose again from the dead, that was God's approval, and the message to the world is that that sacrifice that Jesus made was sufficient to wash away every sin.
Amen.
Now you might say, well, if my sins are already paid for, why do I have to accept the Savior? Listen, the debt has been paid, but if you don't receive that payment, that means you still have to pay. Is that right?
Amen.
And so the offer is there. You can have your sins washed away. You can be forgiven, which is a wonderful word. You can be at peace with God. You can have the joy of the Lord. You can have the Spirit of Christ dwelling within you. You can have a home in heaven. And it costs you nothing. But you have to receive it. And so if you've not received that, if you've not received Jesus Christ as your Savior, I encourage you to do that. It is the most important thing you will ever do. It's more important than the house you buy, the person you marry, your children, you know, how many children God gives you. It's more important than your job. It's more important than living in a free country. It's the most important thing in life. And so please talk to someone. Talk to me. Talk to Pastor Legault, Pastor Kenny. There's ladies here. If you're a lady and you want to talk to a lady, my wife would be glad to talk to you. And others here would be glad to talk to you and show you from the Bible. Not what I'm saying, what the Bible says about being saved and having eternal life. Because we want that for you. I want to spend forever with you in heaven.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm trying to make heaven crowded. Amen. I like that. All right, well, we're in the book of Acts this morning. Acts chapter 3. And I do appreciate, once again, your kindness and to our family and your friendship to us through the years. I believe this is our fifth revival meeting, that, or whatever you want to call it. The sign says Thren meeting. And more and more churches, they're doing it, Thren meeting. I don't know what that is, except we're meeting with you, amen? But whatever you want to call it, preaching meeting, Bible meeting, it's a meeting where we're gathered around, really, the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? And I think this is our fifth one here, and we enjoy it every year. And good to see familiar faces, good to see new faces. Amen. It's always a blessing. Acts chapter 3, I invite you to stand with me if you're able. Pastor Kenny is excused. Chapter 3 of Acts, and we'll read several verses here and get into the message. Acts chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms." He's asking for money. Verse 4, "And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." I want to take for my title verse number 5, where it says, "He gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them." I want to preach on expectations this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the day you've given us. Thank you for your grace, your love. Lord, all that you've brought into our lives, we are unworthy, but we are thankful. And Lord, most of all, the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Lord, we could never pay you back for that gift, and you don't expect us to, but Lord, we do want to show our gratitude. And throughout all eternity, we will praise you for being willing to give your son for us. And Lord, it's the greatest love story that's ever been told, ever been shown, ever been lived. We thank you for loving us and for giving your son for us. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for being willing to pay that price. And we thank you, Lord, for sending your spirit to be with us and to guide us into truth. And we're praying, Lord, that you will do that in these next few moments. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be excited and expectant, Lord, of what you would do in our midst in these days. And Father, we thank you for this church. We thank you for the precious Word of God. We pray that it would have free course among us today. May Christ be magnified, and may the church be strengthened, and may sinners be saved. And we'll thank you for it all. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. I love preaching from stories in the Bible. And when we read these stories, we understand they're true stories. This really took place, and it's a very important story that we're reading here in the sense that this is the first miracle, first healing miracle that was performed after Jesus ascended back to heaven, after his resurrection. And the Lord is going to use this miracle in this man's life to really turn Jerusalem upside down, to really turn it on end. They had thought, the leaders had thought, that they had gotten rid of this Jesus character, and that the trouble was past, and they would go back to being the real leaders and rulers in their own minds of the nation. But the Lord Jesus was not dead. Amen. He was alive, and his spirit had been given to the disciples and the apostles, and he was going to perform miracles through them to show the world, to show the nation of Israel in particular, that the Lord Jesus was more than just a good teacher. He was more than just a miracle worker. He was more than just a good man, that he was and is, in fact, the Son of God. God in the flesh dwelling among us. And so in this miracle, we see Peter and John going up to the temple. Now, there's a wonderful picture of salvation in these verses, and I may not get to the whole message this morning. You might have to come back and listen to the rest of it tonight. But I want to look at this great picture of salvation that we see before we get into the message about expectations. There was this man who is sick from birth. The Bible describes him as being sick from birth. And it's a picture of sinners. And listen, We don't become sinners later on in life. There's the great argument, you know, are we sinners? Are we sinners by nature or sinners by choice? And of course, the answer to that question is yes. We are sinners by nature. The Bible tells us that we come forth of the womb speaking lies. If you don't believe that, wait till you have a child. Amen. You take care of them. You change their diaper. You feed them. You give them everything you need. You put them in a nice, clean, warm crib. And they're all goo goo gaga. And they're all smiles until you walk out the door and turn the light off. And then they, as soon as you turn around, some thief has jumped in the window and is trying to steal them away. Or some wild animal has crawled out from under the crib and is attacking them. At least that's what they make it sound like. And you run back in, and you turn the light on, and you walk in, and you know what they just did? They lied. You know why? Because they're liars. That's what liars do. They lie. And that's what sinners do. They sin. We have 11 children. I've never had to teach any of those children to do wrong. It's just in them. And you know that to be the fact. And the truth, we do have to teach them to do right. You know why? Because they have a natural bent toward evil, because they are sinners by nature. But then also, as you grow older, you realize that you're a sinner by choice as well. You're presented with good and evil, and too many times you choose the evil. And this man, listen, this disease that was upon him, certainly he did not earn this in the sense that he was born this way. It wasn't some bad decision he made. The Bible says in verse 2, he was lame from his mother's womb. It was just the fact of the matter, that's what he was. And it's a picture of sinners. But notice that that they carry this man to this gate, that it's the gate of the temple. It's called Beautiful. And you understand, and I don't have time to get into all of it, but those who were afflicted were not allowed, those who had blemishes were not allowed into the temple proper. They could come up to the gate, but only that far. It's a picture of us as sinners. Listen, people can bring us right up to the point of salvation, but they can't get saved for us. And we can't enter into heaven in our condition. You say, well, why can't the Lord let me into heaven as a sinner? Because then heaven wouldn't be heaven. We see what the world has turned out to be as a result of our sin. And that is the problem with the world. You can take a sinner and take him out of a bad environment and isolate him so that there's no other influence on him, and he'll still do wrong. You know why? Because it's in him. You know the proof of that? Adam and Eve in the garden. Amen. I'm trying to move on here, but I want us to get this. They brought him to this gate, but he was not allowed in. But then the Lord brought some witnesses by his way. These two men, Peter and John, they showed him a better way. They introduced him to someone who could get him from where he was to where he needed to be. To get him from the condition that he was in into a healed condition and a better condition. Amen. And he said, and Peter and John said this, it's not us, we didn't do it. It wasn't by our own strength or wisdom that we made this man to walk, our own power or holiness that made this man to walk. It's the man Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was born of a virgin and lived a sinless life and died on a cross for our sins and rose again the third day. It's by his power that we command you to walk again. And listen, the witnesses came by, they introduce him to Jesus, the man is healed, and he enters into the temple. Amen? What a beautiful picture of salvation. And again, if you're not saved, this is what the Lord can do for you. You say, I'm not crippled. You are spiritually, and you need the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a great picture of salvation here, but I want to pull out from this just one thought this morning concerning expectations. When Peter and John came to the temple, they went to the temple to pray, and they saw this man, And the man saw them, in verse number 3, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. So here's this man, he's lame, he can't work a job, he can't take care of himself, and so he's depending upon the charity of others to provide for his needs. And so he's there, he's lame, he can't walk, and he's laying on that ground by that temple and by the gate, and he sees Peter and John, and he asked an alms of them. He was asking for help. He was asking, and the Bible says, look what it says in verse number 4. It says this, Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Now, this man had some level of expectation. Expectation is the act of looking forward to a future event with at least some reason to believe the event will happen. Okay, we would say it would be closely aligned with hope. He's expecting these men to give him something. And listen, the Lord works through his expectation to do something even far greater than what he expected. And listen, this morning, I just want us to have and to cultivate and to challenge our hearts whether we are possessing a spirit of expectation for the Lord to do something in our hearts and in our midst in these days. This morning, even while we sit here, listen, maybe some of you came to church because that's what you always do. Maybe you're here because, hey, it's the right thing to do. And I will say this, you need to be here whether you feel like being here or not. Amen. It's a part of being faithful and showing our gratitude to the Lord for what he's done for us. It's in obedience to the Word of God, which tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. All that's good. But listen, let me tell you something that's better. It's better to be here, not just out of duty, or not just because people expect it of you, but because you come expecting to receive something from God. Whether it be encouragement, whether it be correction, whether it be instruction, whether it be rebuke. You say, well, I don't like receiving rebuke. Yeah, but we all need it, don't we? Anything God does for us is a good thing. Amen. And so this man was expecting something. Now, when we think about expectations, I want us to look at a few scriptures here. Keep your place in Acts. Look at James chapter 1. Expectations is kind of a, we can kind of describe it like faith. In some ways, you can have great faith. You can have little faith. You can have no faith. Faith is measurable. And so is expectation, and they are closely tied together. Look at James chapter 1. Here's a passage that we're probably familiar with, many of us. James chapter 1. Look at verse number, let's look at verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Well, there's a whole lot there. But look at verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Now, when we read these verses in light of expectation, we're told when you're praying, when you're asking for wisdom, this is the scenario set before us. When you're asking for wisdom, you're going through trials and you don't know why, and you're asking for wisdom. You need to ask in faith. And so that tells us that it's possible to ask not in faith. Now, listen, when we think about this, you just need to chew on it a little bit. Why would you ask for something that you did not believe you're going to receive? Why ask in the beginning? Why in the first place? Why are you asking if you don't believe you receive it? And I wonder how many of, listen, how much of our prayer life is just going through the motions, and we have no expectation that God's going to answer those prayers. Let me give you an example. We're talking about Peter. Peter is later on in the book of Acts. He'll be imprisoned for preaching. And while he's in the prison, the church is meeting together to pray for Peter. Good thing, right? And they're praying specifically that the Lord will get Peter out of prison, out of jail. They're praying for his release. Is that right? And while they're praying, God is answering. And God sends an angel. Is that right? Am I getting it right? He sends an angel, and he wakes up Peter. Peter's so, he is so resting in God, he's asleep while he's in prison. And the angel shows up, and Peter doesn't even wake up. He's dead to the world. And the angel kicks him on the side. Hey, wake up. Peter wakes up. He said, hey, God heard their prayers. I'm going to get you out of here. And he just miraculously loosens his bonds, opens the doors. Peter just walks out. He just walks out. And he says, well, guess I'll go see the church. So he goes over and he knocks on the door where they're meeting. And they can't be bothered because they're having prayer meeting, right? So they send Rhoda, one of the servant girls, hey, go answer the door. We're praying. We got to pray. Peter's depending on us. We're going to pray. Rhoda answers the door. It's Peter. And she's so shocked, and for joy, she just runs back to tell the people. She doesn't even let him in. She sees him at the door. Oh, Peter's at the door. She runs back. Hey, everybody, Peter's at the door. Be quiet. We're praying. They didn't believe her. Finally, she gets them to come in, and Peter comes in, and they're, wow! I guess God really does answer prayer. They were shocked. Hey, have you ever been shocked when God answered your prayer? I have. Sometimes he's just good to us, and he just answers in spite of us. But the principle here is, if we want to receive something from the Lord, we need to ask in faith. Hey, I'm looking at Sister Judy down here. I didn't know if I was going to see you this time around. And everybody was saying no. But prayer from God's people, and you're still here. I'm saying we need to pray with expectation. It's possible to have no expectation. You know what's sad? It's sad to me when I come into a church service and a meeting and a bunch of people show up and I know they're not there. Listen, I'm not real old, but I've been doing this thing for a while, and I can tell when people are checked out. They're just checked out. They're just punching the time clock. They're there because they're supposed to be there. They're expecting nothing. I'm not browbeating anybody. I'm pleading with you to enter into this place with a spirit of expectation. Listen, not in me and not in you, but in our God and in the precious Word of God and the ability of the Spirit of God to do things in our lives that need to be done. The fact of the matter is, every person in here has a spiritual need that only God can meet. And they may vary, they may be different, but one thing's for sure, we need to get closer to God than what we are now. We need God to do things in our lives that only He can do. We need miracles, and we have a miracle-working God. And we need to have a spirit of expectation. It's possible to pray with no expectation. That's sad. And then look at Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. I'm not going to get very deep into this message at all this morning. You're going to have to come back tonight. Matthew chapter 8. How many of you plan on being here tonight? Okay, there's enough of you. I might just have to preach the whole thing. You're getting nervous now, aren't you? Look at me, I'm a Baptist preacher. I like to eat. We're not going to be here long. Matthew chapter 8. Now, you know what? Listen, in all seriousness, I'd rather God do something here than me get lazy man lasagna. And that's what I'm eating afterwards. That's the plan, right? We still have lazy man lasagna? Listen, I'd rather God speak to my heart. I would much rather have spiritual food than physical.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 8, look at verse number 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Wow. Look what he says. He bases this on. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Here's this man that you want to talk about great expectations. This man had great expectations. He went to Jesus on behalf of his servant, and Jesus said, okay, I'll come. And the man said, you don't even have to come to my house. I believe that your word is powerful enough to heal my servant from a distance. Oh, that we would have great faith in the power of God's word in these days.
Amen.
That we would believe, truly believe, not just say, but truly believe that God's word can heal the sickness of our heart, can heal the relationships that we're in, that he can do through his word miraculous things. Things that we're unable to do. Jesus said, man, I haven't found this kind of faith even among God's people. It's sad. Listen, it's sad when you said, here's the scenario. You got people get saved and they come into the church and they're brand new in the faith. And they just believe God can do stuff. And some of us, listen, we've been sitting there soaking on lemons, for so long. We've just got to the point where we think, well, and we look at them and we say, well, how long are they going to last?
Come on.
Hey, our God is a great God who can do wonders. You know, the Lord, we can have no expectation, we have great, then we can have some. And that's where this man was in Acts chapter 3. It says he was expecting to receive something of them. Now let's look at it just for a few more minutes and we'll wrap it up. Let me ask you a question. What was he expecting to receive? Money. Verse number 6, Peter says, Acts chapter 3, if you kept your place there. Verse number 6, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Typical Baptist preacher. Amen. Silver and gold have I none. If you think we're in this for the money, boy, try it. Amen. God takes care of us. Amen. I'm not complaining at all. God takes care of us. But there are hirelings that are just in it for the money. Peter and John, they certainly weren't. They said this, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. The Lord can exceed expectations. Isn't that a blessing? Now, I want my faith to grow. I want to believe. I'm kind of like that man that brought his daughter to the Lord, and the Lord said, if you can believe, I can heal her. And this is what he said, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. Because, listen, remember that faith is measurable. It's measurable, and listen, some can have a lot of faith, but there's still some unbelief in there. And we're looking to the Lord and say, Lord, help me. I want to have complete faith in you. I need you to work in my life in this situation. There's some expectation. God can exceed those expectations. Amen. How many of you look back over your life and you can see where God exceeded even your wildest dreams in blessing you and helping you? And listen, when I got saved, and I grew up in church, I knew about salvation. But when I got saved, the longer I've been saved, the more I'm seeing how much the Lord did for me when He saved me. He didn't just deliver me from hell. He gave me His Spirit, and He gives me peace and love and joy and strength. There's so much more. He's exceeded my expectations. And here's this man, he was expecting silver and gold. And there's a lot I'm going to deal with tonight, but I want to get to this part, okay? The Lord did not do for him what he expected. In his mind, listen, please listen, in his mind, he thought he knew what he needed. We're like that, aren't we? Well, this is what I need, Lord. I'm coming to church this morning. I need you to do this and this and this. And usually it's kind of like, I need you to work in this person's life and that person's life. And I need you to change this situation. And I need you to change this circumstance. And I need more money. And I need my car to run better. And listen, come on. And you may have a need that the Lord sees as more important than what you're seeing. You may think, okay, this is going to be the fulfillment of my need. I need some silver and gold. Anybody here could use some silver and gold? We could all use a little silver and gold. The Lord said, I get that, but I got something more important I want to do for you. My wife doesn't like me to give this illustration, so I give it. I'm just kidding. But a couple Father's Days ago, can't remember when it was, maybe 2 years ago, something like that. Let me just say this, Father's Day has gotten really good for me. I mean, when the kids were small, Father's Day, you know, it was fun because they really enjoyed it, and I get the little cards, and I love the cards and all that stuff. But I didn't really get any real goodies. You know what I'm talking about? But as the kids have gotten older, Father's Day, I mean, it's bumped up there pretty good. It's a good day. And we make a big deal on Mother's Day. Amen. And so we're sitting around Father's Day, and all the kids always bring their gifts first. And man, there's some pretty good stuff rolling in. We always save mama's gift for last. And we do the same thing at, all the birthdays, whatever. mom and dad's gift is last because that's always the biggest one. Because mom and dad got the most money, right? So here they come. And here comes my gift from Rachel. And I had spied it. Amen. I'd seen it over there. Didn't know what it was, but it's a pretty big box. The bigger the box, right? So she brings that box over. They bring it over. And I'm filled with anticipation and expectation. And I open up that box. And I take the wrapping off. And my heart sinks a little. Now listen, you guys, take, you know how it is. You got to act pleased, okay? And so I'm, oh, this is so nice. It was an ice maker. Little countertop ice makers. I'm thinking, kind of a kitchen thing, you know? On the inside, I'm thinking that. But, you know, I act, you know, oh, this is great, wonderful. And then later that day, they made some sweet tea. Anybody like sweet tea? Southern sweet tea. Anybody tried sweet tea and didn't like it? Anybody? Okay, I don't trust y'all. Okay. So they made some sweet tea. And she put ice in that. Listen, you've got to have ice in your sweet tea. Just got to. Even unsweetened tea. You're an unsweetened tea guy, aren't you, brother? You're not a tea. You are, Miss Judy. Okay. Got to have ice in it. And I thought, man, this is really good. Because, you know, it makes its own ice. And so it, when you make ice in the freezer, you know, sometimes it tastes like beef or plastic or whatever is floating around in that freezer. You get that taste. Come on. Come on. That ice maker, just it's self-contained, and it makes its own ice, and they use the right water. And man, that, I mean, it's a game changer. And you know what I found out? Listen, that ice maker, that was my favorite gift of the day. All the goodies I got, that was my favorite. I liked it so much, we bought one for the bus, too. So when we're away from home, I still have an ice maker. It's a must in my life now. Listen, you say, what's the point, preacher? The point is, I didn't know how much I wanted that or how much that would be a blessing to me.
That's right.
And we come into church, and we've got our list of things that we want God to do. We come into a revival meeting. Okay, Lord, do this, this, and this, and this, this, and this needs to be done, and the Lord may not do any of that. But I do know the Lord wants to do something. Let's leave it in His hands, the prerogative of what need to meet, knowing that He knows better than us. He said, I need silver and gold. And Peter and John said, no. Now, this guy never did get silver and gold. He left that day without silver and gold, but let me tell you what he also left with. He left with a joy in his life. He was walking, leaping, praising God because God did for him what no one else could do for him. And listen, I'm telling you, we've got to get in our hearts, our minds, this life. I don't care if you've been saved 50 years. There's something that God wants to do for you in these days. Don't miss it. Have an expectation of what God will say to you and will do for you. And just let Him fill in the blank, whatever He says, whatever He wants to do, however He wants to deal with your life, however He wants to change things. Lord, I'm open to You. You work in my life as You see fit. What should I do with this meeting? Number one, get here daily. They brought him to the gate every day. What would have happened if they'd missed this day? Get here as much as you can. Even if you have to be carried. Right, Pastor? Just be here. You don't know what the Lord's going to do. Don't put God in a box and say, well, if you don't speak to me Sunday morning, then your time's up. No. No. Be here as much as you can. Let the Lord speak to your heart. Give it an opportunity. The second thing, look for help. Amen? Have some expectation. Believe that the Lord will do something. Ask. What if Peter and John had walked past and the man didn't say anything? They were walking past him. Expect. Receive God's help. Don't put God in a box. That's what I'm trying to say. Don't say, God, you got to speak to me this time. God, you got to do something about this. Just say, Lord, I'm going to be here. And I'm going to be open to whatever you say. And I'm going to trust you to speak through your man as the word of God is preached. And Lord, do for me what needs to be done. Change my life. This man's life was changed. Talk about the wise men left a different way. This man left a different way too. His life was completely changed as a result of just being where he should be and having some expectation of the Lord doing something. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your blessings on us. We are thankful for this precious book we call the Bible. Lord, we are thankful for the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus. We're thankful for the Spirit of God that ministers to our hearts and changes us through the preaching of the Word, through the study of the Word, the reading of the Word, through the submission of your people. Lord, you change us. We thank you for that. Lord, we need to be changed. You've begun a good work in us, but Lord, we need you to keep performing that work until the day of Jesus Christ. We need to be more in the image of Christ. And Lord, that takes your work. And so, Lord, I pray that we be yielded to that. And Lord, if there's someone here who is unsaved, and the gospel that has been preached throughout this service has spoken to their hearts, and they realize that they are undone, that they need Jesus. They need to be born again. Lord, draw them by your Spirit. Help them in simple faith just to trust what Jesus Christ did for them, what he did for us. And help them to call upon you in faith and receive your gift of eternal life. Lord, we pray that we would have a spirit of expectation. Lord, it's so easy, I know, for us, for our family. We're in services every week. We can get to the point where it's just what we do. But God, there's so much that needs to be done in my heart, in my family, in this church, in every individual here. And Lord, these are things that only you can do. And so God, would you do the work in our hearts? And may our faith activate your work. In Jesus' name I pray. The altars are open and the piano is going to start playing. I want to ask a few questions before I turn the service over to Pastor Legault.